for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
It is Monday, a new week here at the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer joined, as always, by Tyler Lochner. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Tyler, what's going on, man? I told you before we got on the pod, I am currently reading a book. It's called A Season in the Sun. It is a behind-the-scenes look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2020 season with Tom Brady, obviously. And just it goes so behind-the-scenes and in-depth on Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, all the coaches, Brady, Gronk, Fournette. It's incredible. So I had to shout that out, and that is my recommendation for the week. Go pick up this book if you're interested. It's amazing. But how was your weekend?
Weekend's great. I am excited. We're 10 days away from training camp as of this recording,
yep.
Which just reminded me that last year there were headlines that said Jamar Chase was losing. He was going to lose snaps to Auden Tate because of his drop problems. So keep that in mind before training camp starts.
The year before that, it was Jefferson was running as the third receiver.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting point too. Like we're so hungry for football that any sort of training camp news, we take it as gospel, and we need to be able to balance out what's kind of real and what's really just kind of fluff. But it's very difficult when we're all so excited for football. Also, I am very tilted because I try to go to Bills training camp every year. But I haven't been to their training camp since they've been like this good, and they sold out immediately. So I'm going to try to find some sort of training camp to go out to, but, I'm tilted because I'm not going to be in Buffalo for last time I was there. They had Tyrod, Sammy Watkins, like that was their team. So it was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. But yeah, training camp, exciting times, and it's a great time to continue our position, our team previews. And this is a good team to keep an eye on for training camp, right? We know who Aaron Rodgers is. This is the Green Bay Packers. We know who Aaron Rodgers is. We know the running backs to an extent. But really what's going to be interesting in training camp is the reports for receiver. Who looks like the one in Green Bay? Is it Alan Lazard? Is Sammy Watkins emerging as the one? What does Christian Watson look like in training camp, their second-round rookie receiver? That's going to be very interesting to see because it's one of the talking points in fantasy. But let's get to Aaron. Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. And first off, the Green Bay Packers coming off another year where they were incredible in the regular season, losing the NFC title game to San Francisco. Matt LaFleur and Rodgers are still there, one of the best coach quarterback duos in football. They did lose offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, who's now coaching Denver. But LaFleur and Rodgers have so much, you know, of that offense, you know, is their doing, so they'll be fine. But let's start with Rodgers, Tyler. I mean, he's interesting. I feel like it's been the last couple of years we've been like, yeah, the Packers have been kind of run first, and Rodgers going into the last two seasons, like, is he really going to keep this up? But then he just keeps posting back-to-back MVP seasons. But is this the season now where we say he just lost Davante Adams? He doesn't run as much as a lot of the other quarterbacks in fantasy. Where do you have him ranked? And I guess the most important thing is what should we expect? Or what could we potentially expect from Rodgers in his first season without Davante Adams?
Dude, Rodgers is such a wild card. And I had him ranked 14th. I'm going to do an update to my rankings this week, and he is probably going to move up to 11th or 12th.
Okay. Who did you have ahead of him originally?
The players that I will move him ahead of are Derek Carr.
Yep.
And Matthew Stafford. And then the one that I have to debate about is Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Russell Wilson. I'll have to have some kind of debate with myself there.
It's so scary to just full on fade him because he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. And
so that's what's happening to me.
Yeah.
I look at my rankings and I'm like, okay, would I really draft Derek Carr ahead of Aaron Rodgers? Probably not. Like, I think I would have a month and a half ago, but that's not the case anymore. And really nothing has changed other than the fact that it scares me to like not have Aaron Rodgers ranked as a QB1 because he's probably going to finish as a QB1, even without Davante Adams. So that's kind of my take on him. I think he's a tail end fantasy quarterback one. That's the simple take on him. But to go a little bit deeper into it, yes, losing Davante Adams is a huge deal, but we've talked about this before on the podcast. Aaron Rodgers was fine without Davante Adams. His yards per game increased. His touchdowns per game increased. This is all according to the FTN splits tool. He's only played eight games without Adams over the last couple of years since Adams became the primary wide receiver. But Rodgers still averaged nearly 300 yards per game without Adams in the lineup. And it's not a huge sample size, but it's not like one or two games. I think it's enough for me to have some confidence in Rodgers there.
It'd be totally different if this was like a borderline league average quarterback losing Davante Adams and not one of the three. Like I've said this many times, Brady is the GOAT. He's the greatest quarterback ever, but the most gifted quarterback I've ever seen in terms of throwing the football in my 29 years of living is Aaron Rodgers. And the splits give me a tough time too, because they are impressive in Rodgers' favor without Adams. But a lot of those games, he still had, you know.
He did have good. He still had other good wide receivers.
Greg Jennings, a Jordy Nelson, a James Jones, even like Alan Lazard, who we all probably rank as the top receiver on this offense, at least for fantasy, isn't even close to those players. But like
the supporting cast is terrible. I mean, it's terrible. You can't deny that. But I will say this: he's played three games without Adams over the last 2 years. And really, Adams was their only good wide receiver the last 2 years. They didn't have a Greg Jennings type the last couple of years. And Rodgers averaged the same amount of passing yards per game, 265 with and without Adams. Again, this is only three games, but he did average three touchdowns in those three games without Adams, which was more than his average in the 32 other games over the last 2 years. So I know it's tricky. It's so hard because he's probably, you know, definitely one of the top 10 quarterbacks ever, probably one of the top five quarterbacks ever, back-to-back MVP seasons. But he's losing the guy that he threw the ball to one out of every three times he dropped back. So it's hard. You just mentioned all of the players at the top of the podcast. Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, Christian Watson. So like, number three wide receivers, a rookie who wasn't even a first rounder, and a cast off in Sammy Watkins are his targets. He doesn't even have a great tight end like Robert Tonyan. Aaron Jones is a great receiver out of the backfield, but he's not Christian McCaffrey. So this might be the worst supporting cast in terms of skill players Rodgers has played with ever, right? Mm-hmm. Like I don't think that's a stretch to say.
No. So at least, because remember, when Adams was a rookie, they still had like Jordy at the end of his career. Greg Jennings, I think, maybe Greg Jennings. For me, like Rodgers is in that QB, like you said, like QB 11 to 13 mm-hmm. range. I still think it's going to be tough. I'd still pencil him in for 30 plus touchdowns. And by 30 plus, I mean like 30 to 35. And less than 10 interceptions because he does every year. For me, though, it's just we talked about it on Friday's episode. Like, I'm so enamored with Minnesota's offense. And the Packers also, like, their roster top to bottom outside of receivers is still as good as any in football. Like, their defense is loaded. Their offensive line is going to get back Elgton Jenkins, who can play all five positions on the offensive line. And they still have David Bakhtiari. So, like, they're still going to have – and they got Zach Tom, who I thought was, like, a borderline second-round pick. They got him, like, day three. So their offensive line is still going to be really good. Their defense is really good, too, which should give them the ball, but also, like, limits how much – because this team hasn't been exactly pass-heavy with Rodgers. They've been kind of neutral in terms of pass-run rate. So is the upside as high as anybody that's going ahead of him? Like, his upside's probably the same as, like, Stafford, Brady – if Brady and Rodgers had similar seasons, I wouldn't be shocked. Brady probably has a little bit higher ceiling just because he's going to throw 600 times.
I would probably be pretty surprised. I think that would require a down year from Brady. I mean, Brady's going to
throw. He's just going to throw 600 times.
Probably 100 more times than Rodgers,
So, yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, Rodgers in that QB 11 to 13, 14 range. But, like, again, if he finished top seven, like, don't be surprised. But it really comes down to who's going to emerge a receiver. And there are outs for Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, they could sign Julio any day now, who, again, Julio isn't as good as he was a couple years ago. Same with Odell, but they would be upgrades, in my opinion. Plus, they could trade for somebody midway through the season. Like,
now, honestly, like, them going to play with Aaron Rodgers would, like, Julio Jones played with Ryan Tannehill in a run-first offense behind A.J. Brown. Like,
yeah, I don't think Julio, I don't think Julio's washed. Like, everybody's so quick to say veteran player is washed. Like, Julio's not Julio from this prime, obviously, where he was, in my opinion, one of the five best receivers ever. Mm-hmm. But, like, in my opinion as well, Julio right now is better than anybody on the depth chart at receiver. I'm sorry.
Oh, 100%. And
Christian Watson, if he hits, like, there's a reason he, like, his combine was ridiculous. There, he's getting comps to MVS because he's a vertical passing option who can run past anybody but has issues with drops. But, like, if he hits, like, he's an immensely high ceiling type of player, and that would be great for Rodgers. But let's talk about Alan Lazard. We'll go to the running backs after the pass catchers, because this is the talking point of the team and one of the talking points of fantasy. Alan Lazard is being drafted as the wide receiver one on this team, which, you look at his role, he's been literally one of the best run blocking receivers in the NFL, but that role has to change at some capacity because they need him. And he's a big thing with Aaron Rodgers we talk about all the time is trust, right? Like Davante Adams, the 30% target share pretty much every season the last couple of years. Is Lazard going to see that? Absolutely not. But you saw down the stretch last season, Lazard was getting to the point where it's like, okay, we know he's going to trust Adams, you know, without even a shadow of doubt. But after that, who's he going to go to? And it became Alan Lazard. You look at the final 5 weeks of the season, Alan Lazard was the wide receiver 8 in fantasy. He averaged a touchdown per game during that span. And that same span, he saw 6 end zone targets, which actually tied with Adams for the 5th most among all receivers in the NFL. And, like, no, he's not going to be a top 10 receiver and have that type of upside, but he was getting end zone looks alongside Adams. So, like, if Alan Lazard finishes inside the top 10 in end zone targets this season, I really won't be surprised, because that's the role Adams had, and they don't have anybody else that right now fits that role. That's not been Watkins' role. It's not going to be Christian Watson's role. Maybe it's Robert Tonyan that all those targets go to, but how do you feel about Lazard? Again, the splits I mentioned, he's 5-game sample. Not going to be that high. We know that. He's not that good. But, man, like, in that range, I talk about it all the time, this tier of receivers, where it's Kadarius Toney, where it's Chase Claypool, where it's Robert Woods, where it's Tyler Boyd. Alan Lazard goes a little bit, I believe, ahead of some of those guys. But I think if he is fully the number one receiver on this team, I think his – we talked about this before. Like, he could have, like, a 900-yard, 8-touchdown season.
Yeah, we've talked about Lazard a few times. I remember we talked about him pretty early on as a player that we both were like, okay, we need to move him up our rankings. You mentioned some of his splits down the stretch last year. I also have some Lazard splits over the last 2 years in games where he has seen at least 5 targets per game, which feels like a pretty safe projection for him with even if he's not the number one wide receiver, I still feel like he'll probably hit 5 in at least 10 games, right? Maybe 12 games.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, 5 targets. Unless you're Adams, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, some of these elite receivers, like, you're going to have a couple 3-target games. But
Right.
But I agree. Most games, I think, yeah,
he'll probably see at least 5.
If he sees 5 targets more often than not, like, yeah, like,
yeah,
like I said.
Guess how many PPR points he's averaged over the last 2 years. He had 13 games with at least 5 targets. 14 games with fewer than 5. Guess how many PPR points he averaged when he saw at least 5 targets?
12.
It's 15. That's a much higher number than I thought. He averaged 4 receptions, 61 yards, 0.75 touchdowns per game, and 15 PPR points per game. So that's good. I mean, for a guy that is going around wide receiver 45 to wide receiver 50 range, that's right where I have him projected to. And there's uncertainty baked in there, exactly like you mentioned. Will Christian Watson be the number one? Will Sammy Watkins be the number one? Will Julio Jones or Odell Beckham get, you know, signed? So I'm drafting Lazard, I'm ranking Lazard as if he's going to be Green Bay's number one wide receiver. But I do think even if they sign like a Julio, Lazard will have a viable role, certainly in best ball, where there's a lot of touchdowns up for grabs. Like you said, if he finishes the year as like top 15 or top 10 or top 15 in end zone targets or even red zone targets, would it be a surprise? Definitely not. Like,
he was top 12 last season.
Not at all. Yeah. So it's honestly probably going to happen again this year. I like Lazard more in best ball because I do think he might end up being fairly touchdown dependent. Like, I would say his odds of scoring 10 touchdowns are greater than his odds of getting at least 1,000 yards. So to me, I view him similarly to Adam Thielen in maybe his dependency on touchdowns. So I like him a little bit more in best ball for that reason. But honestly, Lazard is really cheap for, like, if you think he's going to be Aaron Rodgers' number one wide receiver, he's going to beat his ADP. Like, he's not going to finish as the wide receiver 48 in fantasy points if he's Aaron Rodgers' number one wideout all year.
Yeah, 100%. And again, like, this is the data cast. We love to use advanced stats and talk about numbers, but like with Rodgers, like just that connection is so important. I watched a lot of those games down the stretch, and it was a lot of Alan Lazard clearly as the number two. It wasn't even, well, I mean, Aaron Jones, obviously, but like after Adams in terms of receivers, it was clearly Alan Lazard. And the two are definitely close. They're not Adams and Rodgers close, but yeah, like I think he. The yardage, like he's not going to be great in yards per out run, yards per target. I don't view him great in that role. But again, like he had 11 end zone targets last season. Devontae Adams had 10. Like,
so
Adams played 16 games. Lazard played 15. Like, he got a lot of end zone targets with Devontae Adams last season. So like, I think like I said, he was top 12 in that regard. Like top 10, I don't want to say it's a lock because it's Alan Lazard. It's not like this guy you just force feed targets to, but like if he plays majority of the season, unless somebody emerges or unless they trade for somebody, like who else do they throw into the end zone?
Lazard, to throw another stat out there, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think his red zone role is going to be great. Maybe, I mean, Christian Watson's probably the biggest threat there, right?
I'm going to look while you're talking to see the projections from Jeff. I want to see how many yards he has Lazard projected for. I'm very curious.
Lazard had 49 first read targets last year, which was second on the Packers. So yeah, I mean, just to reiterate, he was clearly Green Bay's number two wide receiver. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had 46 first read targets. Neither of those guys had very many targets though. Like Devontae Adams had 169 targets, and then no other player had more than 70. Aaron Jones was actually second with 65. Lazard had 60. MVS had 55. And then a whole bunch of guys had like fewer than 40. So just so disproportionately tilted to Devontae Adams' favor here that it just opens up so many doors. But with Lazard seeing 49 first read targets, so 49 of his 60 targets were on the first read. It was fairly successful, 66% catch rate. Like we've mentioned, 8 touchdowns. He's a good player. I think I like drafting him where he's going. He's cheap. It doesn't cost you much. It's extremely cheap to get like the Aaron Rodgers stack with him. So I'm ending up with a fair amount of Lazard. I won't say he's my favorite wide receiver, but again, we're talking about a guy that's going like, I don't know what round it is. I don't have that in front of me, but he's like the wide receiver 45 or wide receiver 50.
And you can get the... In your best ball tournaments, you can get the week 17 Vikings correlation, which means you get to draft Justin Jefferson on more fantasy teams, which is always a good time. Jeff has Lazard projected for like 550 receiving yards. Seems kind of low if he's the number one. 555 and a half from Jeff. Jeff's the best in the business. But you know what, Jeff? I'm taking the over. I'm not saying he's going to have 850 or 900, but I'll take the over on 555. Again, like he doesn't have any receiver projected over five. Like that's the most in the team. So clearly, he's expecting a lot of Aaron Jones. We'll talk about in a minute, but
yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, just looking at Jeff's projections, I think right now it looks like he's taking a stance of the ball will be spread around pretty evenly,
which
in Green Bay.
Totally makes sense because I don't see Lazard becoming a 25%+ target share player after Adams. Like he's not the other. Adams got an insane target share, right? He's also always open because he has the best release in the NFL and he's amazing at route running and he's just amazing. So there's also that part of it too. But the rest of this receiver depth chart, you have Sammy Watkins, who just, I understand he hasn't done much. He's, you know, had a 1 week, 2 weeks and he disappears, but like he has as good of a chance to be the number one as Lazard probably. And he goes really late in drafts. Then you have Christian Watson, who I talked about. Insane upside, made a ton of plays deep down the field, awesome 40-yard dash, but relatively raw, didn't play at a very high profile school. And then you still have Randall Cobb there, Amari Rodgers, Romeo Dubs. Like, are you interested in any of these other receivers? Obviously, you're not starting anybody outside of maybe Lazard in deeper redraft leagues. But in best ball, this is where Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins, and then I've been drafting Julio Jones late in best ball for this reason. If he goes to Green Bay, if he goes anywhere, like Julio signs anywhere, he's going to smash his value right now in best ball. So thoughts on the rest of the Packers receivers?
So the one that I actually end up drafting, and like I hate myself every single time I do it, but I still do it, is Sammy Watkins. I don't really have a great reason why. It's not like Watkins has had a great career. But we saw like flashes of decent play when he was with the Rams. He had some good games with the Chiefs. So like it's really more of a play on Aaron Rodgers' talent there than what I'm hoping for from Sammy Watkins. I like Christian Watson. I know we talked about him a lot as a rookie, but my nerves there just stem from the fact that like, if he does not gel with Aaron Rodgers right away, he could just be like doomed as a rookie. I'm just speaking from the gut here. I have no stats to support drafting Sammy Watkins. I can't defend that one if you ask me to, other than just, you know, he's fast and Aaron Rodgers is extremely good. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 30 to 35 touchdowns, someone's going to have to start to catch them. So I think it's worth taking shots on the Packers wide receivers. They're all extremely cheap, like we've mentioned, basically free. And then in terms of which vet, like almost everyone thinks that the Packers are going to sign some veteran wide receiver, right?
They've literally been linked to Will Fuller for 2 years straight. Like legitimately, it's not even been like, it's like legit. I think I've read something that like Will Fuller just doesn't want to play in the cold.
Oh, I believe it. Dude, I was the biggest Will Fuller stan 2 years ago, and that was like my biggest hit of all time. Side note. I will say that I'm drafting a lot of Julio Jones like you. I'm drafting a lot of Odell. Maybe that's dumb because he tore his ACL in February, but you can get him in the 18th round. I could see Odell going to either the Bucks, the Packers, or the Rams. All of those would be good. Julio, I could see going to the Packers or the Colts. Both of those I think would be good. So total shots in the dark there, but
yeah.
Will one of them sign with the Packers? I don't know, but will one of them sign with a team? Yeah, definitely, for sure. And given the chance that it's with the Packers and playing with Aaron Rodgers, I definitely think that those are guys worth taking shots on too. But outside of Alan Lazard,
I will say this. Packers wide receiver coach Jason Vrabel said that second-year receiver Amari Rodgers is, quote, in the best shape of his life.
Dude, yes.
It's crazy, too, because he's a third-round pick out of Clemson, barely played as a rookie, and they lose Adams, and they immediately draft the receivers and bring in Sammy Watkins. So, like, if you're looking at, like, the very last pick of your best ball draft, maybe Amari Rodgers gets involved. But, yeah, it's really, for me, like, I like Lazard. I'll take shots on Watson and Watkins, and then Julio. Like if I told you right now Julio Jones was signing a contract with the Packers, he'd probably be like wide receiver 35 ish.
Yeah, his ADP gets cut in half.
Right, easy, and it becomes like especially if you're doing drafts now. Like the second that happens, his rounds he goes four rounds higher than he is now, probably at least. So.
Least,
clearly, yeah. We're not thrilled about the current depth chart in Green Bay. What about tight end? I mean, Robert Tonyan 2 years ago was the touchdown regression storyline, right? All those touchdowns on very few receptions. But now, coming off the injury, he's healthy. It's still unclear if he'll be ready for week one after the torn ACL. So there's a chance he's not available to start the season. But like, if he is, I mean, touchdown opportunity is going to be there for him, and he might even be more consistent in terms of targets with Adams gone. I haven't drafted much of him just because I prefer a lot of tight ends that go around him. But what are your thoughts on Tonyan? Is there any potential for him if he's good to go week one, or even if he's not?
Dude, take all of my Tonyan takes with a grain of salt because I drafted so much of him last year. He did like a flat nothing and then got hurt, and I'm still burned from it. And I'm not drafting any of him. I don't know if it's because I just like have so much spite for all of that from last year. But I actually think the real reason is that I think his 2020 was a fluke. I think most people thought it was a fluke, even last year, after he scored 11 touchdowns, which is really legit. But even last year, after scoring 11 touchdowns, he was still being drafted as like the tight end 10 or 11 or 12. It's not like he was leaping up to a breakout candidate or anything like that. There's really low levels of energy around him this year. He's going in about the 12th, 13th round of fantasy drafts. I'm really not drafting him because I usually already have a tight end by then, and there are players going around him or even after him that I like significantly more that I think have the same appeal as him. Like you can get Hunter Henry, who I think is a very similar player in terms of, you know, likely to score touchdowns, or you could get Cole Kmet, who I know we talk about all the time and we really like him. You can get Albert O. You can get
I like Gerald Brevin Jordan over him.
You can get Gerald Everett playing with Justin Herbert. And so just like a lot of tight ends that I like more than him that are going even after him. So that's why I'm just not drafting him at all.
All right, let's get to the backfield. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, one of the best 1-2 punches in football. But what are we going to expect from Aaron Jones? Because had an injury late in the season, then came back, and then they were really turning to A.J. Dillon as their 1A, at least in terms of running the football. But let's start with Jones and what we can expect. And will we see an uptick in passing game usage with Davante Adams out? According to the FTN Daily Splits tool, 7 games Jones has played with Adams out of the lineup since 2019. In those games, he's averaging 6.7 targets, over 5 receptions, and nearly 56 receiving yards per game. That's 26 legit PPR points per game. So, in full PPR leagues, like, remember what Alvin Kamara was his first 3 seasons in the league? 81 receptions, and then, like, you know, around 200 rushing attempts. Is this just is the Packers right now set up where those teams, right, when Kamara came into the league, they had Peterson, then Peterson disappeared. It was really Kamara and Latavius Murray, if you remember. Is this just the same thing right now, but Dillon's better than Latavius Murray? I think that's how I view it. It's very similar, except also, like, there's no Michael Thomas / Davante Adams on the outside, so maybe even more targets from Aaron Jones. I view that very similarly in terms of the structure of this backfield and how it's made up and what the roles could be for both running backs.
I like that comp, honestly. I mean, A.J. Dillon definitely better than Latavius Murray. I would say Alvin Kamara is better than Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
You know, but
we've seen Jones in the same workload type role as Kamara. Right. It's been 14 carries, 4 to 6 receptions every game. And then especially now with Dillon there, who I think they might prefer Dillon at the goal line too, because when they were both healthy down the stretch, Dillon was the goal line back, not Jones.
He was.
So if he does lose some goal line carries, oh my God, are you gonna plug the video?
No, I was gonna say
about the video of AJ Dillon today when he speared the mascot.
I was gonna say shout out to me for drafting AJ Dillon in the 10th round of the Scott Fish Bowl.
What's it like being in the 10th round? I'm in the 6th. Maybe the 5th.
Yeah, dude. And Aaron Jones might have already been drafted in your league. I kid you not. I got him so late. But I also drafted him like 20 minutes after that the video where he just absolutely destroyed that poor mascot. And it solidified your draft pick even more. 100% solidified it.
Look at this backfield, though, because it's, again, like two of the more polarizing storylines in fantasy, in my opinion, going into the season are the receiver room in Green Bay and then the backfield. Backfield's not as, like, mysterious. Like, we know they're both getting the rock and they're both going to be good. It's just how much is Dillon going to take away from Jones, and then how much is Jones going to – how much of an uptick is he going to see in the passing game that can make up for whatever he loses in the running game from A.J. Dillon?
So you were 100% correct that Dillon was the preferred back near the goal line, especially down the stretch. But Dillon had 11 goal line rush attempts last year. Jones had 8. Dillon had 41 red zone carries. Aaron Jones had 33. I think we see those numbers trend even further apart from each other this year. And I think we see Dillon with, you know, let's say they get a combined 25 goal line attempts this year. I think we see Dillon with 15 of them or 18 of them. And Aaron Jones gets maybe 7. So it's maybe like a 66-33 split in Dillon's favor for red zone attempts, goal line attempts. So I think the touchdown equity, I think Dylan is a pretty decent bet for 8+ touchdowns, 8+ rushing touchdowns. Dylan is by far my favorite zero RB candidate. And I'm talking like true zero RB, like not draft Derrick Henry in the first round and then wait a few rounds. I'm talking about not drafting a running back for the first 5 rounds or so. Dylan is definitely my favorite candidate to be the first running back that I take there. And I think he should be on everybody's zero RB list for this exact reason. He's got incredible standalone value. He's got more standalone value than Tony Pollard. Would you agree?
It depends in PPR leagues if Tony Pollard's playing in the slot. That's going to be a storyline I'm interested in training camp, is if they're deploying him as a not full-time slot receiver, but a lot in the slot. Mm-hmm. That'll make it a lot closer. But right now I would lean Dylan, yes.
Yeah. I just think Dylan is like, he's going to be a threat to score a touchdown every single week. He's going to have some weeks with multiple touchdowns. And then on the flip side of it, you get Aaron Jones, who you can usually get in the second round. I've actually started to see Jones go a little bit later in the second round. I don't know if that's just a temporary thing that
I've seen. It's because Barkley's moving up.
Barkley is moving up.
That's what's happening, which I'm all here for. So
yeah, gosh, dude, a month ago, Barkley was going in the middle of the third round. It was incredible. But Jones he's like early to mid second round pick. So it's a premium pick, but you don't have to spend a first round pick on him. And yeah, in terms of his usage, I think he will be a lot like DeAndre Swift this year. Mm-hmm. In terms of how many targets he gets, I would expect Aaron Jones to be around 75 targets. Like if you like DeAndre Swift at the end of the first round, or at the 1-2 turn, which is a popular place for Swift to go, then you better like Aaron Jones in the middle of the second round. Like, honestly, I don't know what their differences will be between Swift and Aaron Jones. Like, Swift might have more rushing touchdowns because Jones has Dylan to contend with. But I would say Jones probably has more receiving yards because he's playing with Aaron Rodgers. You know, I guess maybe not, because Swift will likely be playing from behind a lot. But yeah. my point being that I view Swift and Jones very, very, very similarly this year in terms of usage, in terms of stat line and everything like that. And Swift goes like a half round earlier than Jones in recent drafts that I've seen. So I really like Aaron Jones this year. The only thing that I'm like nervous about is what if Dylan just becomes the running back? But even in that case, I'm not that worried, because then Jones is just going to be a wide receiver. Like you mentioned the splits. What was it? 7 targets per game
in
the
7 games without Adams? Yeah, nearly 7 targets.
It's amazing. That's amazing. Like if Jones finishes, if let's say every single running back plays all 17 games, I would expect Jones to have the third most targets and receptions and yards behind McCaffrey and Eckler. I think it would go McCaffrey, Eckler, and then Jones in terms of receiving running backs this year.
Yeah. Weeks 15 through 17 last season, I didn't count week 18 because Aaron Jones didn't play. The Packers rested a lot of their starters in that game. Dylan did play, but weeks 15 through 17, Aaron Jones had 0 carries inside the 5. Dylan had 3. So I think they are going to go to that. I'm not saying Aaron Jones is going to get any carries from it close, but I think Dylan is going to be the lead back mm-hmm. in that regard. And you're probably going to see more games than not where Dylan ends up with 16, 17, 18 carries and Jones has 10 to 12, but Jones obviously makes up for it with 5-6 receptions. He's an easy top 12 running back for me in PPR leagues. I love Dylan as a standalone flex if you need him. And then obviously we know he's a top 10 running back if Aaron Jones misses any time. Because he also showed that he was very capable as a pass catcher. Like that wasn't really a huge strength of his game coming out of college, but like he was more than impressive and more than capable in that role when he got asked to do it last year.
I do think we look at that like that as a real upside opener for AJ Dillon. But I think we should look at the reverse too. Like if AJ Dillon was not in the picture,
yeah.
Aaron Jones would be like a top 4
I
would. Pick,
I was going
right?
to literally say I'd probably have him 4. I'd probably have him after McCaffrey, Taylor, and Eckler. He'd probably be 4 for me.
So like, there's
that's a good point. We do it a lot. Like,
there too.
Like we always say, if Zeke ever misses time, Pollard's going to be great. But like, they're already playing Zeke a ton anyway. So if Pollard misses time, Zeke's going to get all the work and
right.
Like
same compile stats.
Same in Denver too, but the opposite, right? If Melvin Gordon misses time, Javonte's going to be a league winner. But like, Melvin Gordon was good last year. If Javonte misses any time, Melvin Gordon's going to be a top 12 running back. So, giving some love to the veterans for sure. How would you rank this group of running backs? Let's do half PPR league because in full it's a lot easier. But let's do half PPR. Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, and DeAndre Swift.
Hold on. You just threw a lot of names at me.
Chubb,
say it again.
Chubb, Swift, Jones, and Barkley.
Chubb, Swift, Jones, and Barkley. All right, I will go. Gosh, dude, I want to put Barkley first out of that group. He just keeps rising up my boards. He's so good.
I know. Chubb's definitely last for me.
Chubb is last for me, for sure. I think I currently have them Swift, Barkley, Jones, Chubb.
Let's just ranking the top those first three is very tough.
It is really tough. And I also, like, kind of in that grouping,
Barkley
too.
Barkley has the best chance of getting 25 touches a game. Swift has the best chance, I think, of getting the best combination of elite receptions and elite. Maybe Barkley. No, Barkley. I'm going Barkley one. I'm going Barkley Jones.
I probably will readjust.
I'll have to do Barkley mine as well. I think if I don't have it ranked that way already, I'm going to go Barkley Jones Swift. Again, I've been on it for like a month now. I'm just afraid to not be on Saquon Barkley's monster season when it comes back. So, so Dylan, you view him as not just a play. Like, you can flex AJ Dillon at plenty of times.
You can flex AJ Dillon every week. I think you can.
And what if they go even more run heavy with Adams gone, which is the strength of their offense right now, other than Aaron Rodgers, is clearly the backs. So maybe they just say, you know what? Our offensive line's healthy. We have Jenkins healthy. We have Bakhtiari. We have a really good offensive line. Let's just get the ball 25 times combined between Dylan and Aaron Jones and let our best players make plays. Maybe that's just going to be their philosophy this season, which totally makes sense. I mean, they're clearly their best players on offense right now.
The Packers, even without Davante Adams, they still have a 10.5 win total.
The roster is loaded. They have the best secondary in the NFL, in my opinion, right there with like Buffalo and Baltimore. They added Quay Walker, linebacker out of Georgia, to their defense. Rashawn Gary is an emerging edge rusher. Kenny Clark's still one of the best nose tackles in football. Like, they have the second best safety duo in the league behind Buffalo. Like, their offensive line's good and healthy. They have Aaron Rodgers. Like, top to bottom, they have one of the best rosters in football. It's just their receiver room is bad all of a sudden. Really was always bad. Just Adams carried it. But yeah, they're gonna be in the thick of it. I don't care if they don't have Adams. They're gonna be right there at the end.
They will be right there. I totally agree. The Adams thing is huge, though. I mean, it really is. If you look at their target market share from last year, Adams 29%, and then Aaron Jones 11, Lazard 10, MVS 9, Randall Cobb 6, Dylan 6. Like, we just talked about this with Jeff's projections. Okay, Aaron Rodgers might just spread the ball around. That's literally what happened last year. It was Davante Adams with everything. And
my
then
favorite
whole bunch
stat,
of other people
I asked you
nothing.
This too, and you might remember it, but I'll ask again. So Davante Adams had 169 targets last season. How many of them were first read targets?
Oh, dude, I was just looking at this, so I know it. It's 150, which blew my mind.
150 of his 169. Like, for reference, Cooper Kupp had what? How many targets?
He had 159 first read, but he had 191 targets. He had 25 more targets.
Yeah, like 150 of 100, like, that's insane. So
it is insane.
That'll be one of the more interesting storylines. And again, you talked about it to start the show. Training camp will be starting. Probably would make, maybe we'll do an episode where we rank our top 10 things to watch for in training camp, because the Packers receiver situation would be top five, maybe even top three.
Yeah.
So any other thoughts on the Packers? I don't think there's any sleepers. Like, I mentioned Amari Rodgers, like, sure, maybe they get involved with the receiver situation right now. Really, for me, it's just keep an eye on the receivers if they add somebody. And even if they don't before the season, this team could easily be in a situation where they're, you know, right there, first place NFC North, you know, one of the best teams in the NFL. And they're like, you know what? We're not getting enough from our receivers. We got Aaron Rodgers towards the back end of his career. We want to get him another title. Let's go trade for somebody. There's going to be teams that are struggling, and they might have a receiver on the trade market. Like, they could easily trade for a receiver before the deadline midway through the season and really change things up for fantasy.
Yeah, I agree with that. But if history is any indicator, they'll just, you know,
right,
they'll leave Rodgers with nothing. But my just final parting takeaway on the Packers is just draft AJ Dillon if you're doing zero RB, and don't draft AJ Dillon if you're drafting Aaron Jones. I think that's a case where you probably don't. It's not like
just maximizing or minimizing your upside at that point, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you're probably playing both of them every week. Like, Dillon has enough standalone value as a backup.
And I also think, like, it's not a situation for other teams where it's like there's a clear definitive backup and that player doesn't touch the ball a lot. Like, Madison
Dillon's
goes
be on the field all the time.
Right, like Dillon goes in like the 6th, 7th round. It's not like you're missing out on key contributors for your fantasy team if you take Jones at the second round and Dillon in the 6th. Like, you're missing out on breakout receivers that happen to go in that range every single year. So it's not the same as Madison in the past for Dalvin Cook, where he goes 11th round or whatever, or other teams clear backups where, like, Daryl Henderson or something in the past, where they would go double-digit rounds, and you're not minimizing your upside by passing on players that can really, really, not just be in your starting lineup, but, like, fully break out. So it's tough to, like, you obviously would love to have Dillon if you have Jones just in case, but, like, it's just going to be to have to spend two of your first 6 picks on that backfield, it's going to be very difficult, because Dillon does go in like the 6th, 7th round. Like,
yeah.
So that's a good point. FTN fantasy content coming up this week. I dropped the Jets coaching and coordinator series article on Sunday. It's free to read. So a handful of them are going to be free to read, but most of them will be behind the paywall. So if you want to check that series out and, of course, get all the content, all the tools, all the projections, premium stats, all that great stuff, get a subscription to FTN fantasy today. Tyler, what do you have coming up this week over on the podcast? Also, Tuesday, Bob Harris from Football Diehards will be joining me on the podcast. One of the nicest guys in the entire industry, so I'm always excited to talk to Bob.
Yeah, this week I'm finishing up the series of quarterbacks and tight ends that did better or worse when underdogs or favorited. So wrapping up that series, and got lots more with August coming up close, fantasy draft season. I'm going to have tons of draft content and pretty data-driven stuff coming kind of to go along with the lines of the DataCast. So keep an eye out for all of that on FTN Fantasy.
So pumped. We're just weeks away from the start of training camp, and things are going to really heat up in fantasy football circles. Keep it locked here at the FTN DataCast, presented by the FTN Network. Sign up for FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. For Tyler, I'm Adam. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. As always, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter @APfeiffer24 and @LochnerNFL.